of my colleagues wish recognition. Ms. Tracy?
I want to thank all of you for your testimony. All of your testimony was pretty compelling. I only have one question. This is for you, Jim. In your bill, Section 7A requires the Secretary to place land in trust for the Duwamish Indians. And then in Section 4B, it designates where that area is, and it consists of five counties, King County, Kitsap County, Pierce County, Lewis County, and Mason County. Now, my question to you is really twofold, because Thurston is not involved in there. If you're looking at a contiguous area, Thurston is kind of the donut hole because it's not included in that area. But my question to you is this. Kitsap and Mason counties are in Norm's district, and I just wonder if Norm has an opinion on that. Pierce has part of Adam Smith and Dave Reichert's district, and I wonder if they have an opinion on that. And Lewis County, of course, is in Brian's district. I guess we can ask him on that. But I just wonder, so that's the first question, what's the response of your colleagues in that immediate area? And why was Thurston County not included? Because, again, that's kind of the donut hole there. To make a contiguous area, Thurston geographically should be part of that, and why wasn't it?
I would never speak for my colleagues in terms of what their attitude toward an Indian tribe is in the state of Washington. I think they could speak for themselves. I do not know the answer to why Thurston County was left out of that designation, and I'll get back to you with an answer to it, but I don't know it at this moment.
Okay. By the same token, is there a reason why, because you, in your testimony you were talking about Seattle primarily, I mean, and I'm familiar with that area, but these counties go way around, as you know, Puget Sound, and if you can give me an answer to that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, the issue of the Duwamish, they were driven off their lands by the settlers who settled the biggest city in the state of Washington. Very clearly, they had to drive these people off so they could get the city. And my first bill in the Congress, it's interesting you raise it. When I came to the Congress, the first bill I carried through here was a bill for Norm Dix related to the Puyallups. The Puyallups had so many claims around the port of Tacoma that they couldn't expand the port because nobody could get a clear title to anything. And so what we did was we resolved that land complaint by giving land or by monetary thing. We gave an $80 million settlement to the Puyallup tribe over that kind of thing. Now, clearly, their land was in Seattle, so the question is, what do you do now? And I think that ought to be up to the administration of the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Interior Department. If you're going to give land, how are you going to do it? Where are you going to give it? That's not something that I think necessarily we should legislate, but that ought to be up to them.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you give me a response to that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, Congress has already recognized that the Burt Lake has a sovereign status. It was indirectly, but we set aside a few years ago a financial settlement among several tribes in Michigan. And since Burt Lake technically had not been fully recognized, we said a certain amount of that money will be set aside until they get their recognition, assuming, and Congress assumed it would get the recognition. We set that money aside. The president recognized that. He signed the bill, and the money still stands there. So Congress has looked at that question very well, set money aside for Burt Lake, but because technically they had not yet received, either from the Bureau or from Congress, their recognition of sovereignty, not granting a sovereignty. You have to remember this is a retained sovereignty. But that was signed by the president, knowing full well that that money was set aside for a tribe which soon would receive the recognition of its sovereignty. And I think we should do that with this bill. I'll yield back.
Grace.
You gentlemen have been here a lot longer than I have, but have you ever questioned why all these injustices have not been addressed by prior administrations? Anybody?
In the case of the Chinook, Ms. Napolitano, they actually were addressed. The Chinook were recognized in the final days of the Clinton administration, and as was discussed earlier, that recognition was taken back in the early days of the Bush administration. There are a variety of arguments for why. I think the arguments for taking it back were inaccurate and illegitimate, but they were actually corrected by the Clinton administration. We're just trying to restore that correction.
And was there a reason given for that action?
There were a variety of reasons given, including differences of opinion by the two administrations on what criteria were or were not met. My own reading of the historical record and the data presented finds that I think the Bush administration, to be perfectly honest, was in error. There's also discussion about differences of non-substantive conflicts between administration personnel or between attitudes towards former administration within the BIA that really should have not had any bearing upon the Chinook. That's not their fight. But I think it's a combination of those factors. Again, my main assertion is, as I look at the criteria of the BIA itself, I believe the Chinook are richly deserving. I believe the historical record's clear. I believe all criteria are met, even within BIA, and we're just saying, look, the Congress has the right and the authority, and I think the responsibility to fix this, we ought to do it.
So in other words, it was internal within the government and had the actual right had no bearing on it. It was internal government that kept them from getting.
That would be my interpretation, yes.
Anybody else?
I would. Grace, on the Burt Lake tribe, we're seeking a reaffirmation. When the United States government feels like it's in their best interest to recognize or reaffirm Burt Lake's status, they do. They went to court on a land claim after they burned them off their land. The white people just burned them off their land in 1911. The United States filed a land ownership suit on behalf of the tribe. See, we are here on behalf of the tribe because we're under their care. They're under our care, control, and guardianship. The Interior Department acknowledges they were signatory to the Treaty of 1836 and the Treaty of 1855, but yet they said because they joined a neighboring tribe, not all of them, some of them, to receive health care benefits, which Interior told them to do while the matter was pending. So they said, see, you've dispersed, you're part of this other tribe, so you don't need recognition. It seems like it's when it's the government's responsibility or when it's in their convenience, they'll recognize them, but to really give them their own reaffirmation, they just won't do it. And it was odd that the Interior, in denying them their reaffirmation, they said, but Congress can do it because there is merit in your claim, but we're not going to do it. I mean, they promised us to do it in 6 months last time when I was here, not last time, but 1997. 6 months. We waited over 9 years to get a decision.
In addition, Grace, in the case of the Little Shell, continual barriers have been put up. Answer this question. Okay, all you want is a casino. No, we don't want a casino. In fact, we'll put it in writing, we don't want a casino. Well, you want land? No, that's not the point. We don't want land. Well, all you want is federal benefits from the BIA. You don't understand. It's a recognition of being here, of being a part of America before America. It has absolutely nothing to do with the financial or the casino or the land and all the other impediments. But when a bureaucracy wants to throw up those barriers to making the right decision, they can always come up with another reason. So in our particular case, we've been answering those. It's taken a number of years, but we continue to answer all the questions, and still the bureaucracy stands in the way.
Jim?
And I would almost second Mr. Renberg's remarks for the Duwamish. This is a question of recognition. It's not about other economic rights or anything else. It's do we exist? Do we exist? And does the United States have a responsibility to honor the treaties they signed in 1855? And in the case of the Duwamish, after laying on the table for years and years, and I would recommend that everybody read the letter from Michael Anderson, who was the Acting Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs, who finalized this tribal recognition at the end of the Clinton administration, and he lays out why they should be recognized as a tribe, and The Bush administration went through, and he had signed the document, putting it in the Federal Register so that it would become a fact. He didn't sign the second and the third copy. Now, if that's a reason to deny a tribe recognition, I'll eat my hat, because that clearly was the right decision, and that he made a clerical error should not take away from this tribe what their recognition clearly was. It was in order. And I think that it's that kind of thing that went on with the Duwamish, and there you can find it all through these cases that they, if you want to find a reason to say no, you can always find a reason to say no. As legislators, we know that. We often vote no, and we always have a reason for why we did it. Well, but it may be not relevant to really what the facts are.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And from hearing all these instances, how many more are out there that also are facing the same dilemma but cannot come for regions of economic instability? You know, they can't afford it, as Bart was saying. So maybe we need to take a look and have BIA and the administration come together and find out how we can begin to look at those loopholes, if you will, and be more cognizant of what wrongs we're doing to our Native Americans. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for being so.
Thank you. Chair, I remind my colleagues, it appears we have the same Lone Ranger running loose on the House floor today, and there is a motion to adjourn pending. Before that, I recognize the gentlelady from Wyoming, Ms. Lewis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would, since we do have to go vote, I'll defer questions, but I want to thank the members for their testimony and also second what Mrs. Napolitano said, which is we need to find a process that makes this less onerous for tribal members that seek recognition, less onerous for the Congress, and less onerous, apparently, for the BIA as well. Thank you.
Gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Grella.
No, just thank my colleagues, and I think Mr. Rydberg and Mr. McDermott said something very, very important just now. How can a people continue to be a people if they're considered that they do not exist? This is about existence. And I think all of your comments were very powerful and very compelling. I appreciate them, but I think for us to do the right thing is not just to acknowledge the sovereignty issue, but more importantly, acknowledge the existence of. And I appreciate your comments.
Gentleman from Washington, Mr. Inslee.
Thank you. First, I want to thank all my colleagues, particularly Mr. Baird, Mr. Dermott, for bringing this before Congress, given the story of these particular groups and the long tradition of travails that these peoples have suffered. I really appreciate you pushing this issue to make sure that justice, whatever that is reached. So thank you for your efforts. I'm particularly interested, I want to ask about the Duwamish situation. It's something that's my dad taught at South High School, and this is something that we have kind of a unique situation. I represent sort of both sides of the water. Chief Seattle had lineage from both Suquamish and Duwamish tribes. Now I represent the mainland with the Duwamish and Kitsap County with the Suquamish. And the Suquamish have raised some issues about this proposal. They've written a letter. I'll ask the chair to put it in the record if I may. Mr. Chair, I'd offer a letter July 14th for the Suquamish tribe.
Without objection. We'll
thank you. And they've asked a question about how this would relate to the relative treaty rights. Theirs and other tribes, I know the Muckleshoots have expressed some concerns about some fishing rights issues. How would the recognition work in relationship to those particular treaties? Is that something that would be essentially adjudicated, or would their recognition by necessity have some implications? How would that work?
If I could give you my non-legal answer to that, and I really am a little bit wary of my own answer. Mm-hmm. When Judge Bolt made his decision and granted 50% of the salmon to certain Indian tribes in his decision, he did not grant any to the Duwamish because they were not a federally recognized tribe. He didn't say they weren't a tribe. He said, because they're not on the list of federal tribes, I haven't given you any share in the fish. Now, they would obviously get some share in the fish, and I don't know how that would be decided, probably legally, if But I think it's generally all Indian fish are counted, and they get 50% of the fish. So they would get whatever they catch.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Let me address how that issue is addressed in our recognition of the Chinook people. Mm-hmm. The language in the legislation specifically says that the Chinook will not be entitled to rights beyond that enjoyed by non-tribal fishermen except for limited hunting and fishing rights. Now, that is an extraordinary measure on their part out of recognition and respect for their neighbors in the community. We've worked it out with careful language with Washington Fish and Wildlife, and I would suggest that that's actually in contrast. There are other tribes in the region, for example, that enjoy rather large and some people would assert actually take advantage of unfairly rather large access to crab off the coast. And parenthetically, Mr. Chair, some of those other groups have actually opposed the Chinook. And one thing I want to be really clear about, the mere possibility that one tribe necessarily offers comment in contradiction to another tribe's recognition is not without self-interest. And we certainly don't want to allow that to have veto power, particularly in cases where the one tribe enjoys a relative advantage by the lack of recognition of another tribe. I want to note, by the way, that several tribes in our region have fully supported this. With us today is Mr. Wink Soderberg, Tribal Council for the Grand Ronde. And I mentioned earlier that the Grand Ronde and the Shoalwater people have offered letters. Mr. Chairman, I would ask that letters from these two tribes be submitted
into
the record.
Objection to order.
Yes, and yep. One of the treaty rights we guarantee is the right to act in self-interest, too, or at least to speak that way. And so it's an American right. I think we all recognize that. Let me ask you another. This may be a philosophical question, but the particularly the Duwamish, my understanding of the circumstances of how there was a clerical error that essentially resulted in their non-recognition, which is, you know, extremely disturbing to think that that would happen. And then the subsequent administration, the Bush administration, essentially reversed field. And I know there are some who have some strong views about that administration that might argue there should be a presumption of error there even. I won't go there. But I guess the serious question is, should we look at this in this bill, and I'll just let me address the Duwamish first. Should we look at this at, look, there was a clerical error, and therefore the substantive issues of whether there was tribal continuance, tribal governance, all the seven criteria that are normally looked at in the statute, should we look at this as, since there was a clerical error, we shouldn't even look at the substantive issues and we should just say we're going to cure that clerical error? Is that the right thing to do here or not?
Would the gentleman yield?
Yes.
Perhaps we should recess at this point since the clock has been on zero for some time on the floor. And if our colleagues can return so we can go into this question a little more.
Yes, thank you.
Is that okay with our colleagues?
Fine.
The chair will stand in recess. This is only one vote on the House floor.